Guest of the Champions, episode 6. So it was my 6th episode. Welcome. I am your host, Mike. And welcome to another fun-filled week of my opinion of the show, the current state of, well, WWE. Because, quite frankly, I kind of swore off TNA for a little bit. I know I did a show not even a week ago. But, like I said before, I was on leave this week, and I really had to get on and do a show this week before I went back to work next week. You know, it's been a very, very extremely busy week for the WWE. Just crazy. They got a pay-per-view, a Raw that just had everybody talking, and then just everything that's going on. You know, I'm going to hit it all up today. First off, I just want to talk first. I hit the admin crapola stuff. You can find me on Twitter at cast of champion, or you know, go to my Twitter at Mike Spiesman. You know, hit me up on there if you have any kind of reviews. Hit that. Go to facebook.com/cast of the champions, all one word, and give me a like there. I've been posting some stuff up there. You know, I post the shows up there, and I also post up the pictures and stuff this week. You know, just stuff like that. I've been in mourning all week about CM Punk. But like I said, I'll get more into that in a minute. Don't forget to go out and check out the Nitro Cast. Take a look at the old school WCW. Right now, this week's show, he was closing out 1996 with the glorious Hogan Piper match. I use glorious with quotes. You could probably guess. But yeah, go ahead and check that out. And I want to get in the Royal Rumble first, but like I said, very very upset about CM Punk. I don't even know what to say right now. I will get into it. I got some notes I wrote down on it. But first, I'll talk about the Royal Rumble. And you know, overall, to start off with, Royal Rumble was not a bad show. It really wasn't. You know, I went into this thinking that, you know what, it's going to be, Royal Rumble was always a pretty easy pay-per-view, but just knowing it wasn't nearly as predictable as last year, so, you know, that's a good thing. For the most part, you know, I said in the first of the year I picked CM Punk to win the Royal Rumble. Obviously that didn't happen. I thought for a minute there he actually might, but, you know, it is what it is. And then Batista just, you know, when I get to that point, I'll talk to him more about it. But, well, I'll start out the Royal Rumble, the Royal Rumble pre-show. Don't usually watch these too much, but the match on the pre-show was the New Age Outlaws versus Goldust and Cody Rhodes. They put on a 6-minute match. Not a bad match. I was wrong in my prediction. I thought that the Rhodes family was going to win, but no, at the end, the New Age Outlaws win, and they won cleanly. They didn't cheat or nothing, so, you know, my biggest problem, my only problem with the New Age Outlaws is I was thinking they were going to be transitional champions to get the belts on to someone like the Usos or something like that, and they didn't want a face team to beat the face team of the Rhodes family, but, you know, they're still getting boos. I mean, they're still getting cheers. You know, Road Dogg plays with the crowd every time. Like, they're still... you know, they weren't doing their heel gimmick they did back in the 90s. So I don't understand really if they're heel or faces, because, you know, did they turn on CM Punk, one of the biggest faces of the company? And, you know, are they not part of the authority? I don't know. That's my only confusion about this. You know, if they're going to be heels, make them heels. You know, and do something defining to make sure that, you know, that we know that the New Age Outlaws, they're heels, and they're going to be the bad guys that are going to give the belts off to the Usos. As far as the Rhodes Brothers, the only thing about the New Age Outlaws, they quit wearing the DX shirts. They have their own New Age Outlaws old school pitcher shirts. So I was happy about that, you know, because D-Generation X is just something that's dead. I wouldn't even want to see a full reunion come back. It would be annoying. So it was good to see them wearing just that shirt. You know, the Rhodes Brothers, after they lost this match, my inclination for the Royal Rumble was, because I knew they were going to be in the Royal Rumble, was, all right, who's going to eliminate who to set up their feud for WrestleMania? And, you know, that's the first thing I thought when they got eliminated. During the Royal Rumble pre-show kickoff, you also had the legend panel with Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, and Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And they gave their predictions on who they thought was going to win the Royal Rumble. Shawn Michaels picked CM Punk, or a member of the Shield, so he completely whiffed on it, but he had four chances. And then Ric Flair picked Batista, and we all know he won. But and then, you know, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I remember an old Nitro, and Paul reminded me, when you listen to Nitrocasts on one of the other shows, you know, Hacksaw said something about, Hogan, you're a great wrestler. Well, Hacksaw Jim Duggan picked Dolph Ziggler to win the Royal Rumble. And obviously he's not listening, paying attention to what's going on in the product, because they're completely burying Dolph Ziggler now. So why you would pick him is way beyond me. So yeah, those are your predictions. One of them was right. Show kicked off. Now, I knew going into this, Daniel Bryan was not going to be in the Royal Rumble. As much as Paul said that Daniel Bryan was going to win the Royal Rumble and get that big pop at WrestleMania, I knew he wasn't even going to be in it. He was never advertised for it. I just knew it. But when the show kicked off and Daniel Bryan comes out to kick off the show, I start changing my mind a little bit, thinking, okay, he's going to kick off the show. Maybe he's going to end the show as the Royal Rumble winner. So I'm okay with that, you know. And then he went on to have a fantastic match with Bray Wyatt. Downright obvious Bray Wyatt's best match since he came up to the main roster as Bray Wyatt. It was just outstanding. He looked great. He's creepy with his little spider crawl, little reverse spider crawl thing there. There are some slow spots in it, but they made it interesting. Daniel Bryan, he looked good in it. Bray Wyatt catching him on the outside and doing the Sister Abigail into the wall. Oh God, that was so sickening. It looked great. So that was the spot of the match, in my opinion. And then he throws it back in the ring, hits him with Sister Abigail, Bray Wyatt wins. Now, at this point, I'm thinking, all right, my whole fear of them burying Daniel Bryan is starting again. But then part of me is also thinking, well, they're trying to make Bray Wyatt a superstar. And by having him go over right now, the most over guy, and then part of me, again, also thinks, okay, they're going to have Bray Wyatt win, then why not have Daniel Bryan win the Royal Rumble? It makes sense for Daniel Bryan to win the Royal Rumble. So at this point, I'm really changing my predictions. I'm thinking Daniel Bryan is going to win the Royal Rumble. They have him come out, curtain jerk the show, and then lose the match, which, to me, I was kind of flabbergasted, but I understand everything. Daniel Bryan's going to win the Royal Rumble at this point. So they're going to sneak him in some way. Next matchup, it was a huge, I can't even say how huge of a disappointment this match was, Brock Lesnar and Big Show. Brock Lesnar brutalizes Big Show with a chair before the match even begins. And it just, yeah, I understand you want to make Brock Lesnar look like a monster. It just didn't make sense to me. I mean, why not have him do it? Originally, why not make it a no-holds-barred match before the match starts? But how many times have you seen a match? I mean, Alvaro Del Rio would do it to almost every opponent when they're trying to get him over as a heel, where he would completely brutalize someone without ringing the bell, and then they don't have the match. So it didn't make any sense. And then just to have him brutalize the Big Show with a chair, and then as soon as the bell rings, Big Show hits his knockout punch. And then it just made Brock Lesnar look weak. So the actual timing of the match was 2 minutes, because the bell rang and then he hit the knockout punch. For a minute and 55 seconds, it's Big Show beating up Brock Lesnar. And then all of a sudden he picks him up out of nowhere, hits the F5, and the match is over with. And then he beats the hell out of him again with a chair right afterwards. I just didn't understand. I didn't understand the booking of that match. It was horrible. It wasn't even a match. It was just trying to make him look like a monster. You can make him look like a monster in the confines of a match. Hell, it didn't even have to be no disqualification, but making no disqualification would have been the way to go for that. But it was, to say it was disappointing is an understatement. So Brock Lesnar wins that. So I finally, you know, three matches in, I get my first pick right. The next match was the Randy Orton versus John Cena match for the 500th fucking time. So yeah, I think I saw somewhere during the match that this was their 20th meeting on a pay-per-view since 2005, which doesn't seem like a lot, but when you think about, you know, 90% of those highlighted a pay-per-view, whereas the main event of a pay-per-view, yeah, it's a lot. So, same old, the crowd just took over this match. I mean, you can't say enough about how this crowd just took over. They did not want to see it. They were chanting Daniel Bryan throughout, because, you know, it should be Daniel Bryan in the spot for this match. You know, It was just so much that chance. This is boring. The crowd just took it over. And the thing about it was, it wasn't a bad match. It wasn't a great match. Kicking out all the finishers, I wasn't a big fan of it. Now, what I was a fan of was the ending. When the lights went out and the Wyatt family was out there. Oh, God. I did not see that one come. I know no one did. So, Bray Wyatt gets the distraction on Cena. And then Randy Orton gets RKO for the win at roughly 21 minutes. The best part about that match was the ending, because it set up, looks like they're going to go with John Cena and Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania, which is good. It's good for John Cena to have a match with an up-and-comer and not for the belt at a WrestleMania. Everyone knows I am not a John Cena fan by any means, but finally he's going to help put someone over. He might not lose the match. I'm sure he's going to win at WrestleMania, but the fact that he's going to actually have a match with an up-and-comer WrestleMania, I'm happy with that. But overall, the match, just a carbon copy of what you usually see. They really didn't look like they wanted to be doing it anyway. So, but the crowd just took it over. Chan, this, they completely took it away. It reminded me of the Raw after WrestleMania last year when Randy Orton had his match with Sheamus and the crowd just did not care about the match at all. That's exactly how the crowd acted. John Cena is used to stuff like that. He was more professional about it. Randy Orton, you could tell, was visibly upset about it. It was overall, like I said, good match, but just not what the crowd wanted. So then we get into the Royal Rumble. CM Punk starts off with Seth Rollins. Good choice for it. I already knew that CM Punk was going to be the distance man on this. You knew it. He was going to be out there for a while. So him and Rollins start off, and they were in it for about 49 minutes each. Sandow was out, then Rhodes, who stayed out there for about 20 minutes. Good showing by him. I wasn't correct on my pick for one of the Rhodes brothers eliminating each other. That's how it was. Overall, the Royal Rumble itself was not bad, but the crowd was so aching for Daniel Bryan, it was ridiculous. When Batista came out at number 28, they booed like crazy. Because everyone knew. In the room, everybody knew that Batista was going to win this thing, and nobody wanted him to win. I'm still holding out that the last guy is going to be in there is going to be Daniel Bryan. And I know everybody was thinking that. And then when number 30 hit, I remember I was standing up watching the TV. My wife was sitting there watching. And we were just waiting. And when Rey Mysterio's hit, you could have thrown a bomb in that freaking place because the crowd went crazy and they hated it. And sometimes it's not fair. It doesn't seem like it's fair for Rey Mysterio because Rey Mysterio is pretty, when he's not hurt, he works pretty hard. It was just, it was sad, but the crowd just took over after that. They did not care. They did not want Batista to win, and they let them know that. Roman Reigns was the hero of this pay-per-view, of this match, I should say. He just looked like a beast. When it came down to Roman Reigns and Batista, I knew Batista was going to win, but I still held out hope that, Roman Reigns would win it. But storyline purposes, it would make no sense for him to win it. But the crowd at that point, they were cheering for Reigns like he was never a heel. He was the new Daniel Bryan at that point. And when Batista won, crowd lost it. The internet lost it. Everybody went crazy on Twitter, on Facebook, all the social media. It was insane. So Batista gets to win in 55, almost 56 minutes Royal Rumble, which part of me, another thing is thinking, why is it not 2 minutes between entries? Especially when the pay-per-view's only going 2 minutes for 2 hours 45 minutes, they could have fit two minutes in, But you'll never get a Chris Benoit or Rey Mysterio going 60 minutes again. It just won't happen in a Rumble. But Batista wins. And the thing was, wasn't a bad Royal Rumble. You had Kevin Nash coming in there, which was a surprise, but good. Got that. Who else you have in there? Oh, yeah, El Torito. That was a waste. What was the point of having El Torito being in the match? I hated that. Then he eliminates Fandango. So no push for him. Getting eliminated by a midget. And then the other one was kind of funny was JBL. When he went off and he got eliminated, he got back out and started talking. It just reminded me, before this pay-per-view, I watched four old Royal Rumbles. I watched the 92 one, of course. I watched the 99, the 2005, the first one, Batista one. I watched that one. And I also watched the 98 one. Yeah, and then I watched the 98 one. Yeah, that was with Bret Hart and where Stone Cold went to the end and won it when he got eliminated. But that was also the one where Jerry Lawler came in the ring, got eliminated really quick, and then got back in commentary and acted like he had a concussion or something or had amnesia and never happened. The same thing JBL did. I thought it was pretty funny. He was in touch, and Lawler even alluded to that after JBL came back to commentary. So, you know, there are some fun parts about it. It wasn't a bad Royal Rumble. It just was disappointing in the fact that Daniel Bryan was not in it. And I wasn't going as crazy as everybody else was. I was a little disappointed because I really at one point thought that he was going to win it, or he was going to come in. Dan Bryan was going to come in and win it. But people, I mean, as soon as the Royal Rumble ended, I got on the road. I drove down to North Carolina. I just got back last night. You know, it was so I kind of looked at it on, you know, wasn't on my phone while I was driving, but I was, and saw some of the reactions and. Yeah, it was crazy. My buddy Paul on the NitroCast, he actually put out a if you go to backdoorreviews.wordpress.com, you can actually read his whole take on that and about how the WWE was working the crowd. You know, they were going to turn this into an angle. Whether or not they designed this before the pay-per-view or not is beyond me. The fact that you know, he alluded to that earlier in the day, and what happens on Raw, which we'll talk about in a minute. You know, he brought up a good point, because he was right on, really. Another thing that disappointed me about the Royal Rumble, though, I didn't mention yet, was the fact that CM Punk went so long just to get eliminated by a guy who got eliminated, or was already eliminated. Came and was hanging out under the ring, I guess, the whole show. I saw that on Twitter. He was hanging out under the ring after he got eliminated, and he gets out and he rips out, he throws CM Punk out. I didn't like that. I thought they could. To me, it's in the same way of getting beat, him getting beaten by The Rock last year. You're gonna, you know, at least have someone else who's in the ring, just gang up on him, who's a hired gun or something. But having Kane do it, you know, I know what they're doing. They're just setting up the match for that's probably not gonna happen now, Elimination Chamber between Kane and Punk. But I'm a CM Punk mark. I'm very upset that he's gone. You know, I cried all week. Yeah. So we get into Raw, and the show opens up with Triple H and Stephanie in the ring, and Stephanie talks about how it was a great night, and then Triple H got on the mic and immediately says, "Didn't somebody not get what they wanted?" And when I heard, as soon as I heard that, I'm thinking Paul was right. The next day, because don't get me wrong, Paul didn't know anything until the next day. He figured it out the next day. He picked Daniel Bryan to win a Royal Rumble. So he mocks the crowd, not getting what they want. He talks about how Batista and Orton both succeeded, but they have one more stop, WrestleMania. And Stephanie says that Randy Orton will defend his title at Elimination Chamber, and in the Elimination Chamber. So Daniel Bryan comes out. Daniel Bryan gets in the ring and tells the fans to stop chanting because that's not what the authority wants. So yeah, they turn this into a whole angle now. I really liked the fact that WWE got in there and acknowledged the whole part about what happened. You know, with the internet wrestling community and everybody expecting Daniel Bryan to win, and then don't even mention to me about how Mick Foley said, you know, he completely went out there and said something. That he was so pissed off about how Bryan was getting held back and how he, you know, this, that. And that was legit. I mean, I'm sure he probably burned bridges with Vince and all them, but, you know, it was good for them to get right into it. Daniel Bryan comes out. Triple H says that he put up a good little effort in his match. Okay, it was the best match of the night. So, people are upset about this. People are upset that he was not even in the Royal Rumble match. He said that he asked multiple times but was denied. And Stephanie makes an excuse about how they're caring about their health that he's gone through, and they didn't want him to go double duty that night, even though I think the only two that actually did double duty were the Rhodes brothers. Brian mentions about they make him fight the entire Shield and Wyatt family on a nightly basis, but now they want to, they do not want to be on them. They want to seem to be unfair. Brian says that they don't care about him. Stephanie then turns around and says, "You think this? Everybody here came to see you?" And the yes chance erupts in the crowd. They were really out of sync, though. But overall, they're getting the point. Daniel Bryan tells Stephanie, "You know, move over," and he starts talking to Triple H. So he's not leaving the ring until he gets what he wants, and he gets right into his face. They stare each other down. Triple H says, "They are not the only two people in the ring." And then the Shield music hits, and Daniel Bryan runs out, grabs a steel chair as the Shield goes in to attack him. But they get the better of him. And at this point, I'm thinking, okay, here comes CM Punk's gonna come down. Nope, here comes Sheamus. Then I'm thinking, okay, well, here comes CM Punk again. When they get the better of him, nope, down comes John Cena. So here is where I start thinking, where's Punk? You know, because, you know, I forgot to mention earlier, but, you know, when Kane knocked him out of the ring, he also put him through a table. The Spanish announcer table is kind of convenient they were there for the first time in months. So this is the first point where I'm thinking, where's Punk? You know, maybe he's selling his injuries from the table. So, excuse me. So that segment ends. And, of course, you already know we're going to get the inevitable Teddy Long, you know, six-man tag match, the Shield six-man tag match. It always happens. The next matchup was Real Americans, and they come out and they face Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara. They win when Cesaro makes Sin Cara miss his senton, hits his uppercut, and the neutralizer for the win. So hopefully they're going to do something with the Real Americans. I know during this match, Zeb actually slapped, Jack Swagger, and just kind of teasing dissension, you know. So maybe they're going to do something with Real Americans, or until Cesaro is finally going to get his singles push. One of the two needs to happen. Hopefully happen soon. Next, we get Bad News Barrett. He delivers the bad news that Dolph Ziggler and The Miz will fight in a Battle of Cleveland. He says he's glad it's not the battle. He says he's glad it's not the Battle of Cleveland because no one would win. So it was just him knocking on those guys and talking about how Cleveland sucks and everything. So. Our next match, R-Truth and Fandango. It was a match. R-Truth wins. After he hits the what's up, we go to the back. We get Brad Mannix. After the break, we have Brad Mannix in the ring. He introduces world champion Randy Orton. So it says he won in spite of all the fans. He says method of winning was irrelevant, but he's upset that he has to fight in the Elimination Chamber. So he's doing his old whiny bitch heel thing again. He asked Max whose idea this was. Then Batista's music comes on. He comes out, and he's getting booed like crazy. He said he already told Orton why he's back. He said he does not care who the champions at WrestleMania, because he will win the title no matter what happens. He said, "I don't care if it's you. I don't care if it's John Cena. I don't even care if it's Daniel Bryan." Kind of playing on the I forgot to mention. I really need to take better notes. But you know, after the show on the Royal Rumble, he got into it with some fans and, you know, said that, you know, he did his, started doing his, mocking the yes, yes chant for Daniel Bryan. So, it just seems they need to turn him heel rather quickly, because he's just not going to work his face. It really got to the point now, and nobody wants him around. But anyway, we'll see. Then Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman comes out. Heyman tells Maddox that they already have two choices. They can make history and have Orton defend the title against Lesnar, or they can have Lesnar face Batista, who's the so-called number one contender. Heyman says it doesn't matter which one they pick, but they want their answer tonight or else. So at this point here, we're obviously trying to, and Paul messaged me too. Are they trying to make Brock Lesnar face? We don't know. That's the way they kind of came out there, because you got two guys in the ring who are hated. Orton, who's not having a great title run, and then you have Batista, who's supposed to be the number one face in the company as soon as he walks in, and no one likes him. So, you know, we'll see. Then the Battle of Cleveland, Dolph Ziggler beats The Miz with a zigzag. Nothing to note here. Just a mid-card match, some filler. The Usos then come out to face Ryback and Curtis Axel. The Usos get the win with a top rope splash. Not a bad match. Went, had some good time. Ryback and Curtis Axel, I guess they're not going to be the Power and Glory tag team I thought of, because now all they do is keep losing. But the Usos, they're making that push to go after the titles, and they're going to be tag champions. It's just inevitable. They're not really they're a team that, because of their background and because they're twins, they're just not going to be a team to be singles. They're going to be tag team wrestlers their entire careers. So, as of right now, that's all I can say. Alberto Del Rio, he has a match next against Kofi Kingston against the same guy who beat the world champion a couple weeks ago, and in a squash match, he beats Kofi. So, yep, good booking. Trying to figure that one out. Then we get a rematch, the New Age Outlaws and the Rhodes Brothers. Having a pretty good match. Then Brock Lesnar comes out, he runs in the ring, hits F5s on Cody Rhodes, and goes thus causing disqualification. Now, here's the first heel thing that New Age Outlaws did. As soon as they saw him coming, they booked out of the ring and basically just fed him to Brock Lesnar. So hopefully we get this heel turn for the New Age Outlaws so we can get these titles off him, because I don't want them to be champions too long. The guy's like 90 years old. Billy Ray needs to get a haircut. Not Billy Ray. Billy Gunn needs to get a haircut. Heyman says the authority did not listen to them, and it calls a third option. Brock Lesnar versus no one. He says this is what happens if Lesnar does not get what he wants. And Lesnar proceeds to destroy a chair on Cody and Goldust. So he doesn't get what he wants. He destroys everybody. Next match was an 8-woman Divas tag match. Didn't care about it. Naomi wins. Pinning AJ, by the way. There's the champion going down again. Maybe it has something to do with Punk. I don't know. We'll see. Next, Jerry Lawler's in the ring, and he reveals the next entrant in the Hall of Fame class, Jake Snake Roberts. Fantastic. Great choice. It just made sense. And you know, couldn't say it enough. I know I mentioned before, guy's come such a long way to better himself and to get out, you know, to really clean himself up. He looks great, too. So, Jake Snake is going to be in the Hall of Fame. Now, my thing is, I think he should be... Like I said, I'm not a Warrior fan. I can't stand the guy. Hate that he's going to headline this class, but Jake Snake should headline the class. He was around a lot longer. To me, he's a more noticeable guy than Jake Snake, in my opinion. And that's, you know, almost 30 years, you know, of wrestling smarts there. So next, we get the 6-man tag with John Cena, Sheamus, Daniel Bryan versus The Shield. The winning team... they will be the first 3 entrants in the Elimination Chamber after Randy Orton. So, pretty good match, back and forth. And the ending comes when John Cena locks the STF on Roman Reigns. The Wyatt family comes out, and they attack Cena, which causes disqualification. And that gives Daniel Bryan, John Cena, and Sheamus their spots in the Elimination Chamber. After Cena gets attacked, Bryan and Sheamus come out. They toss the Wyatts out of the ring. The Shield is pissed off at ringside because they just cost them the match, and they get that stare down with the Wyatt family. So they're teasing here. They're teasing here the Shield and the Wyatts for hopefully a match before they break them up, which I really feel like is coming at SummerSlam or WrestleMania. Excuse me. Which would be great. It needs to happen because those are the two dominant little mini factions we got going on in wrestling in WWE before they end it. And they can break Roman Reigns off and he can go his own way and become a singles megastar. So, we'll see. So, but those are two shows. I haven't watched SmackDown yet. I did read the spoilers, so I do know that the final two spots have gone to Christian and Antonio Cesaro. So, looks like they are breaking up the Un-Americans, I think. I don't know. I'll have to watch the show. I'll cover that in my next show in 2 weeks. It's going to be 2 weeks because I go back to work next week, so got to have time to work. The Elimination Chamber is filled. So, to keep in line, all right. Raw. After Raw ends, I go to bed. Remember, I'm staying in North Carolina at my wife's aunt's house. I wake up the next day, and what I usually do, I usually either, if I don't go to the gym in the morning, I get on my phone and start looking at things. I start looking at things, and I notice that something about CM Punk's been pulled from events. So I start reading into it. Come to find out, the reason he wasn't on Raw is because he walked out. They said that he he wanted to just take a break, go home, and kind of recharge. And they want him to go on TV and Raw and say that he had concussion, and he didn't want to go out and lie to the fans and tell them that he just wanted to pull Stone Cold and walk out, take his ball and go home. I can't stress enough how much of a CM Punk fan I am, and how much this hurt me. But I have good and positives and negatives for both. First, the positives. I understand he's burnt out and he's hurt, and I got that. The guy, I mean, even as when he did his 434-day reign as champion, he was doing the house shows. You know, he was doing all that stuff. I even saw him up in Syracuse a couple years ago. He was doing all that stuff. He needs a break. Got it. But my biggest gripe about it is, why couldn't you just wait 2 months until WrestleMania was over? But then that also plays into, it's not just the fact that he works so hard. It's the fact that, you know, he's getting a mid-card match, really. I mean, yeah, because he was going to face Triple H. He was going to face Kane at Elimination Chamber, and then Triple H was going to reveal himself as the reason he's been having all this shit go on towards him, and he was going to get Triple H at WrestleMania. Anyway, and again, I can understand that completely. It was... I gotcha. I mean, Punk said he's accomplished everything he wanted to in WWE except main event, actual main event, closeout, or WrestleMania. You know? And as much as I love CM Punk, I also gotta realize, CM Punk versus Randy Orton for the WWE title is not going to be the show closer at WrestleMania, especially this year when you have all these guys. You have Brock Lesnar and Undertaker possibly going at it. You know, Sting. Sting might be bad. If Sting comes back in time to face Undertaker at WrestleMania, that's going to be your show closer. I guarantee it. Regardless how old they are, it's just, it's like Hogan and Piper at that Starrcade. They were the worst match on the card, but of course they're going to headline because of their names. But Punk versus Randy Orton wasn't going to happen. But I can understand not wanting Triple H. You know, like I said, it's as a CM Punk fan, I'm mad at him, but at the same time, I understand. I just don't understand why he couldn't wait till after the show. Because you go to WrestleMania, at least you get the payout for it. And then, you know, Punk's always said he's always been good with money. You know, so that the money is really not an issue for him. But still, I mean, you owe it to your fans just to finish it out. And not to mention, in the business aspect of it, you have a contract. Your contract says you need to perform. You know, I'm not a businessman by any means. I do kind of handle a business as my job in the Army, because I am a recruiter, run a recruiting office. But I'm also a firm believer, you sign a contract, you're on the line for that contract. That's not just being a recruiter. I mean, that's just as a deal. I mean, if I sign a contract to work for a company for 2 years, I'm going to work for that company for 2 years. And they should sue the shit out of you when you decided to take your ball and go home. But because of the name, like why Stone Cold didn't get sued for it? Because he's Stone Cold Steve Austin. He would never have come back, and he's come back many times. Same thing's gonna be with Punk. They're not gonna sue him because they're stupid. They know someday CM Punk's gonna come back, his music's gonna hit out of nowhere, he's gonna walk back on stage, and he's gonna get that big pop. Or same thing, you know, or they're gonna do like they did with Batista, build it up for a month and then he comes out. Whatever it is. But the fact of the matter is, CM Punk's gone. I'm upset about it. You know, but I'm not gonna sit here and cry or spill milk. I'm not gonna boycott the show. If I'm gonna boycott the show, it's because of the handling of Daniel Bryan. Because kind of a side effect of CM Punk being off this, you know, not being at WrestleMania now, is it's looking like it's going to be Daniel Bryan versus Triple H. So, you know, and again, we're not getting what we want. WrestleMania has, you know, I've heard this said, not by Paul, but by some other people on the internet, WrestleMania is built for non-wrestling fans. Because just like there are people who watch Super Bowl who don't know anything about football, but it's because it's Super Bowl, they're going to watch it. Same thing for WrestleMania. They're going to watch WrestleMania because, wow, look at this guy who's been in TV or acting for so long. Here he is. And that's what they're going to do. Hulk Hogan's going to be the host for WrestleMania, which is a rumor I heard. Then we'll bring him. Then I want to watch it because I want to see Hulk Hogan. It's like they did with The Rock for 3 years. The Rock's going to be at WrestleMania. It was going to be the only matches he wrestles that year, pretty much. Then I want to watch it. So, you know, Daniel Bryan, the residual effect of this is going to be he is going to get the shaft at WrestleMania. But I also like to think that after the WrestleMania goes down, that it's going to be, because they're talking about this being the Sniller Summer of Punk. I think it's going to be a summer of Daniel Bryan. He's going to get a lengthy run with the belt this summer. I just had a feeling. Originally, I heard that Batista was only going to be a part-time wrestler, and from what I read, that's not true. CM Punk even said during an interview he did last weekend at a Comic-Con that that Batista is coming back as a full-time wrestler. But he's going to leave every now and then to film a movie here or there. But he's come back to do a two-year contract to wrestle for 2 years full-time. He'll be on the majority of the Raws. He'll be on probably every single pay-per-view. So he's there for 2 years. He's going to be, you know, he's going to actually do the thing. He's not going to do The Rock. Show up at Royal Rumble, have one match, beat the guy who's been champion for a year and a half, leave for a month, come back a month later, beat that same guy, come back to WrestleMania, drop it. You know, it's not how it's going to be. He's going to be there, you know, pretty much week in, week out. So, you know, yeah. Now, where this happens to WrestleMania, quite frankly, I'm just totally fucking confused on it. I'm going to guess that nothing's changed. It's going to be Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker, or possibly Undertaker and Sting, if they can somehow swing it before WrestleMania. I don't think so, but Sting is still, it's looking like Sting is going to be in the company. So we'll see. And also, again, Randy, it's not going to change Randy Orton, Batista. And then Daniel Bryan's going to get the shaft. And he's going to face Triple H instead of his projected match I had him at before, or everybody else had him at before of, you know, where do we have him at? Yeah, I lost a train of thought now because how much has things changed. So, you know, but you know what? They could swerve everything. You know, the Elimination Chamber's coming up. You know, Daniel Bryan might win the title and then go on to face Batista. Right now, that seems like the match. I think that would actually be a pretty good, you know, show closer with Daniel Bryan and Batista. But we'll see. You know, I hate making predictions now because every time I make predictions, someone quits or injury happens or something bad happens. I don't know. But yeah, we'll see. You know, it's a lot to go on. So, other news this week, I saw Matt Hardy got arrested earlier in the month for beating up his wife, and his wife would beat him up too. I don't know why that was newsworthy. I just thought I'd throw that out there. It seemed like they're fine because, you know, they're always tweeting each other how much they love each other and everything, but they did fuck each other up pretty good. I saw some of the pictures. But I can't respect any man who beats on a woman. My opinion. So, I think that's about it. It's going to be a short cast this week. I just wanted to make sure I got my, you know, my crying and everything out there about CM Punk and, you know, Royal Rumble review and everything, because, like I said, it was a very busy week in wrestling. My next show will be in about 2 weeks. I'll cover SmackDown that's going on. Well, it just ended right now. And Raw. And then SmackDown, then Raw. And then I'll do a show. And get ready for Elimination Chamber. I guess they also booked the 6-man tag match between the Wyatts and the Shield. That's pretty cool. So I'm reading ahead, but you know what? Oh well, this is current wrestling. That's where we see it going anyway. Why the hell not? But until then, in case no one noticed, I picked the song Riot from Bullet for My Valentine because that's my favorite Bullet for My Valentine song, by the way. But this kind of goes with the way people are wanting to riot after the Royal Rumble pay per view. I was gonna go see CM Punk's music, but it was just too soon. That's like, you know, it's like going to a funeral. I don't want to do that. So, but hey, you know what? Thanks for listening. If you are, I got millions of viewers out there, and it's great that people actually like to listen to me talk and hear my smark. Paul called me a smark. Hey, I'm good with that. I'm a smart mark. I'm perfectly happy with that. I love wrestling. Nothing's gonna stop me from doing that. So I'm 33 years old. I retired from the Army in about 4 years. And I'm going to sit in my house and I'm going to watch wrestling. I'm going to watch WWE Network all the time. Because I went to North Carolina this week and I found my dream house that I'm going to retire and die in. And guess what? I got my own man cave on the third floor. The entire third floor is mine for my man cave. And Paul even said I get to use it. Has a bathroom up there. So I can continue to podcast and shit my brains out because evidently I'm the shitter. Fuck you, Paul. You know, because I fucking got sick the first show. Whatever. But, hey, you know what? It is what it is. This is fun. I like doing this. I wish I had more time. But for the next 2 weeks, you know, enjoy the show. Listen to NitroCast. You know, NitroCast. Please, you know what? You guys get a chance. Go on there. You know, if you go on iTunes, whatever, you know, like our stuff in Podomatic, or whatever it is you do. Just kind of get some notoriety. Going to keep this going for a while. I have fun doing it. Paul has fun doing his. But give us, you know, the fact people are reading are listening to it, give us a reason. Is giving us a reason to actually do this. So thanks again. Don't forget, I'm at Cast of Champion on Twitter or at Mike Spiesman. And go to facebook.com/Cast of the Champions and check out the Nitrocast. Okay. And that's about it. So take it easy, everybody. See you on the flip side. And I don't have a catchphrase. I don't have a catchphrase yet like Paul does, but I want to come up with something. So that's about it. Peace out, everybody.